Amen.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much, Sister Bennett, for reading to us that wonderful portion of God's Word. We have been reading this now for maybe the past 4 Bible studies, and we are going through this passage that we describe as Jesus' job description as he came into his ministry. In a public sense, he declared what the Spirit of the Lord has anointed him to do. He has declared to the world the purpose for his coming. And we have seen, we have identified 6 areas of ministry that Jesus spoke of through that passage that Sister Bennett read. And we are up against now the last of those 6 areas of ministry, which is to be found in verse 19, that says to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. I want to tell you this, that it is so important that we observe Jesus as he stood up to read that passage. I think it was an ordinary day. That synagogue service may have started out as just another Sabbath day in which people come to worship the Lord. But they were in for a surprise, because what Jesus did in reading the scripture was nothing new. It happened every time they meet together to have meetings. Somebody read the scripture. But this day was different. This day was totally different. It was a milestone in terms of prophecy being fulfilled. It was this day that the scripture was being fulfilled. It was that passage that Jesus read that was supposed to be fulfilled on that particular day. It was the person who read the scripture was supposed to read it on that particular day. It was prophecy being fulfilled right before the eyes of this congregation. And it changed the whole picture. I am saying to all of us here tonight that each time that we come together, we don't know exactly what it is that the Lord is going to unfold to us. The Lord can intervene in this service tonight and bring about something that affects you personally. Something that affects me personally. Something that affects all of us collectively. But we don't know what the Lord might have in store. That's why it is important that we try to attend all services. Because they did not know what the Lord had in store for them on that particular day until Jesus read that portion of scripture and declared that today this scripture is fulfilled in your ears. This day, and those who were there saw it firsthand. They heard it firsthand. They will move from that place and go and share it with many others. But blessed be God for those who were there to see, both see it and heard it themselves. The scripture fulfilling in their presence. And they behold the person on whom that passage was fulfilled. None other than the Lord himself, whom they have seen before, whom they are acquainted with. But on this day, they are now seeing him in a different light. As he read that scripture, and the way in which he read the scripture, they have to declare among themselves about the gracious words that proceed out of his mouth. So I'm saying to all of us here tonight, you don't know for what reason the Lord makes sure that you are in this meeting. There could be a particular word the Holy Ghost wants to communicate to you. And so we will have it. Each time that we come to meet him, we are coming with great expectation, knowing that the Lord can meet us right where we are. I want to just give a hearty welcome to all of us here tonight. And I'm saying that we are glad to have you with us this evening. I don't know, maybe some of you are coming from work, yet you find the time to stop with us. We are grateful for that. And we trust that God will bless you tonight, not only you, but your partner, your family, your friends, whoever. We trust that God will bless you tonight as we look on God's word together. And we're hoping that at the end of this meeting, we will be better off spiritually because the Lord is in our midst tonight. Thank you for coming. If you are here for the first time, the Lord bless you. And we trust that you will come back again as we worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Bless the Lord. Tonight we have come to what would be considered the final area of ministry that we have been ministering on over the past few Bible studies. And Sister Barbara, I don't know, we might just come back for one more here on the 23rd. We might just close off the month right here still, and next month we go to a new series. It depends on how far we reach tonight. But the passage that we're going to deal with tonight is from verse 19, as we have been saying. As we have been saying, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. That is St. Luke chapter 4, verse 19. To preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And after Jesus read that portion, he closes the book that was given to him and he sat down. To preach, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. The Lord Jesus read that portion from Isaiah chapter 61, which was prophesied hundreds of years before. And now the Lord Jesus is reading it because the time has come for it to be fulfilled. So as we look on this verse of scripture, he said the Lord has anointed him to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. We ask ourselves, what is the acceptable year of the Lord? And the answer that we get is that the acceptable year of the Lord starts with Jesus. It starts with Jesus. In fact, the writer to the Hebrews declared to us in chapter 12, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. This acceptable year starts with Jesus, and it is going to end with Jesus. Right through from Jesus read this portion of scripture, he has introduced the acceptable year of the Lord. And this is not going to be finished until when the rapture comes. We are now living in the time that is considered the acceptable year of the Lord. It's a year that stems from the ministry of Jesus right up through the time of the rapture of the church. The window of opportunity that is offered unto us called grace. That is what is described here as the acceptable year of the Lord. We will elaborate on that just a little bit more later on. But this, I want to say here to the church that most or all of what Jesus did, it is something that came out of, it has some form of connection to the Old Testament. Most of Jesus' ministry, if you follow it closely, what you're going to find is that most of them has their roots in the Old Testament. And when we talk here about the acceptable year of the Lord, we are talking about something that is rooted also in the Old Testament. Not only in the passage that Jesus read from. Of course, he read from Luke. But Luke is recording the prophecy from Isaiah. But it's not only from that connection we're referring to now. But when we are talking about the acceptable year of the Lord, it is rooted in the Old Testament. Only that it is called the year of Jubilee, as to be found there in Leviticus chapter 25. The year of Jubilee. Let us see what that portion said to us. The year of Jubilee. I read Leviticus chapter 25, verse 8, from verse 8 to verse 10. And thou shalt number 7 Sabbaths of years unto thee. This is God giving Moses instruction about how to inform the people of Israel as to how they should conduct themselves over the years. And this is the instruction to them from the Lord. And thou shalt number 7 Sabbaths of years unto thee. 7 times 7 years. And the space of 7 Sabbaths of years shall be unto thee 49 years. And thou shalt cause the trumpet of Jubilee to sound on the 10th day of the 7th month. In the Day of Atonement, in the Day of Atonement, shall ye make the trumpet sound throughout all your land. Last verse. And ye shall allow the 50th year and proclaim liberty throughout all the land unto all the inhabitants thereof. It shall be a jubilee unto you. And ye shall return every man to his possession. And ye shall turn every man to his family. Ye shall return every man to his family. That is verse 11. So when Jesus said to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, it is with the same sentiment here that somebody with a trumpet would go and march throughout the land, making this announcement to the people that this is a year of jubilee, saith the Lord, unto you the people. And what is the purpose for this jubilee, may I ask? It is a time, it is a year in which all slaves, in those days they were, if you have borrowed from the government per se, or if for some reason you have owed the government a debt that you cannot pay, you would have to be used as a slave in order to repay what you owe to the government. And so in that particular year of Jubilee, all slaves, every person who was serving the government or even private people because of a debt that they could not repay, but they were repaying it by way of their own labor. On that particular day of Jubilee, all slaves must be free. All debt must be forgiven. All possession must be returned to its original owner. It means that if you had purchased a piece of land, you know that you cannot keep it for longer than 49 years, because on the 50th year, you will have to return it to the person that you purchased it from. All debt must be forgiven. All slave return to their families, and all possession of property returned to its original owner. It is a day that the Lord has put in place. And while we don't have the word grace, the unmerited favor of God in the Old Testament as it is spelled out in the New Testament, this is indeed a day of grace. A day of grace from God to the people. They did not deserve it, but God proclaimed it, that everything must return to its original setting for a fresh start. The day of Jubilee. The year of Jubilee. And it was only going to be last for 1 year. At the end of that year, Everything would start all over again. If somebody should get themselves involved and they have to pay for whatever it is that they have done, the government will still accept your labor in payment if you did not have the other means to pay for it. Everything would start all over again. But the year of Jubilee in that particular year could be considered a year of mercy from God, that everything returned to its original position for a fresh start. The 50th year, the land itself would get a rest because nobody could farm the land. The land could not be tilled within that year. The land, everything should grow wild, giving the land a rest during that time. It was described as the year of Jubilee, a year of grace, a year for a fresh start, a year of compassion and mercy to those who were under pressure. And God, that speaks to the great God that we serve. How compassion, he expresses compassion from time to time to people. Oh, he shows mercy to people. Oh, he delivers people from oppression at different junctures. And he expects people to return that sentiment and worship him and give him praise and give him thanks for his goodness and his mercy. A day of Jubilee in Israel for a fresh start. And so when Jesus stood up here in the temple and he read that portion of scripture and he came to verse 19 and he closes the book, he is declaring a year of Jubilee, only that it would not be for one calendar year as we know it, but it would be for a dispensation. It would be from the time he introduced this to the time when the church will be taken out of this world. An entire period, a dispensation where God has opened up the possibility that those of us who are slaves to sin, those of us who are under the bondage of sin, can get a break. Hallelujah. Can get a relief. Our sins can be forgiven because of the man, the same man who stood up in the temple and read that passage. It was being fulfilled on him that he should be the one to create the atmosphere, to create the condition by which we, being slave to sin, can receive forgiveness. And while I am sure that those who were sitting there, though they were in wonder, based on the presentation of the Master, they did not see the far-reaching effect of what he had read. But Jesus knew. Jesus knew that he is our Jubilee. Jesus knew that it is on the basis of his ministry that we are going to be free and return to our original owner, which is the Father himself. Jesus knew that he was going to be the instrument through which we return to the Father. And he was looking on Calvary, where he was going to pay for your sins and mine. The songwriter said, I owe a debt that I could not pay. He paid a debt that he did not owe. That's what the songwriter said. And how true that was. The sinless man called Jesus suffered on Calvary, not for any sin he had committed, but for your sin and mine. Listen to how Peter puts it. And listen to what Peter says here. First Peter chapter 2 and verse 24. Listen to what he said. Who his own self. This is Peter. First Peter chapter 2 verse 24. Who his own self bear our sin in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sin should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes we were healed. Peter is saying, by his stripes, we were healed. It is a done deal. Isaiah said, by his stripes, we are healed. Isaiah speaking long before it happened. But Peter speaking after the event, saying, by whose stripes we were healed. It happens. It happens. To preach the acceptable year of the Lord is the year of Jubilee, in which our sins have been forgiven, the debt is paid, and we are returned to our original owner, who is the Lord. I believe that should cause us to say, praise the Lord. We really should say, praise the Lord on that note. Because to think of it, saints, there's no way that you and I could heal ourselves. There is no way that we could forgive ourselves. There is no way that we could creep from under this burden of sin ourselves. It has to be somebody to satisfy the wrath of God. The wrath of God was poured out against sin. And God took out that wrath upon his own son, Jesus. And he died on the tree. If you read the blog for Sunday, maybe, I don't know, I haven't gone there to visit it yet. I don't know if it was up. I don't know if Pastor Dean has put it up yet. But the blog that was written on Sunday, the pastor's blog, that's supposed to go to the internet. It's supposed to go to the website. In that blog, I was expressing the thought. I was expressing the thought of the eclipse. The eclipse. It means that the moon has to pass in front of the sun for us to see what is considered an eclipse. In noonday, when I look at it yesterday, it was just a little after 1 o'clock. And to see the moon passing before the sun until it actually blocked it out. But that is what is called an eclipse. The moon moved in front of the sun. But when you read the scripture, when you read Matthew 27 and Luke 23, it tells us that at midday, Jesus hanging on the cross, they were mocking him at the foot of the cross. They were jeering him. They were saying all manner of hurtful things about him at the foot of the cross. And all of those in the circle were mocking and jeering the Lord Jesus. And immediately, as he hung there, the place went dark at 12 o'clock in the day. It was no eclipse. It was no eclipse. No movement of the sun or any such thing that caused it. In fact, Luke said that the sun went dark. Luke reminded us and told us the sun, it was the sun that went dark. The place was engulfed in darkness. Because it is that moment that Jesus took on the weight of the sin of the world. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. It's that moment he took on the weight of the sin of humanity and he absorbed it in his body. It is that moment that the wrath of God was satisfied. Isaiah declared, it pleased the Lord to bruise him. It was at that moment that your debt was paid for and mine. And Jesus has redeemed us. It was our jubilee. Hallelujah. So we find that the reading of this passage has its roots in the Old Testament. And the purpose for it is that man would be free, like what we see here. And that's what Jesus did. Hallelujah. Hallelujah to Jesus. What a mighty God we serve. Hallelujah. The way in which the Lord went, and think about this, is a way in which we would not have thought of. Look on 2 Peter chapter 3, 13 and 14. What it says, 2 Peter chapter 3, 13 and 14. Listen to what it says, to show you the effect, just to show you the effect of this accomplishment. 13 said, nevertheless, we according to his promise, look for new heavens and new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that we look for such things, be diligent that ye may be found in him peace, without spot and blameless. You remember not too long ago we were ministering from Jude. From Jude chapter 20, Jude 1, verse 24, where Jude said, he expressed the confidence, his confidence in the Lord, that he is able to keep us from falling and to present us faultless before his glory. So not only that Jesus has taken away our sins, but he is presenting us before his Father without any spot or wrinkle. So it is jubilee for the church. It is a year of jubilee for the church because we are returning to our original parents. Hallelujah. So he is here to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And this is a period in which God has purpose for us to receive redemption. When we talk about the dispensation of grace, which is this period leading from the time Jesus made this announcement, the dispensation of grace, Romans 1 verse 16 and 17, the Apostle Paul make it clear here to us. Romans 1 verse 16 and 17. Let me read it unto you. Verse 16 and 17. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jews first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness, hallelujah, therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by his faith. Hallelujah, hallelujah. That brings me into another era in which Jesus, as a result of him saying he's here to preach the acceptable year of the Lord, he has introduced to us the whole ministry of justification. The whole ministry of justification. You and I who have sinned and become guilty before God, because of Jesus, the man who read this passage in the synagogue, because of Jesus' blood that was shed, we can be justified by faith. And we stand before him as if we have never sinned. What a thought! It was far from the mind of those who saw him on that day. They did not see the spiritual debt to which Jesus stood up and read that passage. But bless the Lord, further down the line where you and I are, and by the revelation of the Holy Ghost speaking to the mind and heart of those who have this in writing for us, we can see, we can look back, and we can see the reason for which Jesus stood up and made this declaration. And tonight we can really appreciate that, for he did it, he read it, and it was he who was going to perform it. And what a blessing it has been over many centuries to us. And we give God the glory, we give God the praise for what he has done.